get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. Every other week, I'll be posing sex questions, busting sex myths, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. But in order to do this, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Sex Education. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as always, by accredited sex and relationship therapist, Kate Campbell. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
In this podcast, we give you the chance to have your sex and relationship questions answered by Kate, an accredited sex and relationship therapist. You can send them in to us via our email, podcasts@hatchet.com, or DM us on Instagram or Twitter. We're at RealSexEdPod. We've got a couple of questions today about having a baby in a sexless marriage and why one person's boyfriend always apologizes after sex. But mum, before we get to those, and speaking of Instagram and Twitter, it's something that I wanted to talk to you about today because I've seen it on social media and stuff. It's the relationship strategy that I feel like is taking over the world. Hypergamy. Have you heard of hypergamy?
Oh, yes, of course. And I don't know if it's taking over the world because it's always kind of been around.
Interesting. So what is hypergamy?
So it's looking for a partner who is of higher social standing than you or wealthier than you or more attractive in some way than you would be.
Interesting. And who does hypergamy affect? Is that something that we all have or?
No, I mean, there are at the moment, there's a bit of a trend to go to love coaches or to watch love coaches on social media. People who teach you how to improve yourself so that you'll be more attractive generally to men who are interested in women. And you're hoping to marry, usually, somebody who will take care of you and you'll be an attractive prospect and they'll take care of you with their wealth and social standing.
And it's interesting that you say that because that's how I found out about it. I saw people online sort of coaching other girls, or I say girls, women, but it was
other
on TikTok.
Girls.
Well, it's women coaching other women, but I say girls as well because it was on TikTok. So I feel like some of these people are quite young, but like you say, sort of coaching them into how to attract a man in a higher social standing. And when I looked at this online, it does seem to be that the research on this does show that it's mostly women who involve themselves in heterosexual relationships who involve themselves in hypergamy and often look for, one of the things they look for in men is that they are of a higher social standing, they're more wealthy, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. One thing I wanted to ask about is because you mentioned that it's been around for a while. So in my head, obviously, it's the first time I've heard about this is people talking about it on social media, like say coaching each other through it. So has this been around for a while?
Well, if you think in terms of arranged marriages, then one sort or another, that people have always tried to make themselves attractive to other people and maybe try to find ways that they will be particularly attractive to the kind of person that they're attracted to. Mm. And so there have been coaches for that and there have been marriage brokers since forever. Mm. So in different cultures and at different points in history. And also, I mean, even recently, if you think about the 90s, if you think about Bridget Jones used to read of the Rules, which is a book which told you how to snaffle your man. Mm. And that's always been going on. You know, people used to go to etiquette and deportment classes to make themselves more available, more attractive. And there have always been people looking for a good marriage. Pride and Prejudice, you know, girls in that looking for the perfect man, the, you know, they were trading up. Mm. It's just always happened. But there's a particular resurgence of this at the moment because of all the love coaches that are around.
Mm. But that's the thing. What I think is interesting about this is like, because you have like guys have like, was it pickup artist coaches and stuff like that? But they're not looking for someone of a higher social standing. They're just looking for a girlfriend. Whereas in this particular thing, it's looking for someone of a high social standing. And like you say, historically, you know, people would marry off their kids to people of a higher social class or whatever, because, you know, it looked good for the family, it was good for relations. Sometimes, you know, like monarchs would marry off their kids to other monarchs of other countries to like help relations and stuff. But obviously we've moved on from that now, but that's still, even in recent history, you would, a lot of women would maybe marry men because men were traditionally the breadwinners and stuff. Maybe that's changing now, but maybe not. Maybe people still feel like that's a thing.
You know, generally speaking, we tend to think it more in terms of equality. I mean, there's always been a bit of an idea that some men don't want too much trouble and they'll sort of dumb down in terms of partner. So somebody attractive, similar social background as far as possible. And they're not wanting someone who's going to challenge them or be a bother, right? Mm. So there's always been that sort of alliance, and that suits the both parties quite well, quite often. So if you're wanting, I don't know, somebody to sort of be a housekeeper, lover, mother to your children, but not so much an intellectual partner, that's always gone on. Mm. And so some of this buys into that.
It's interesting you mentioned that about, because to have hypergamy, the act of dating upwards, that means you have to have the opposite. There has to be people who have to therefore be dating downwards. And that's called hypogamy. And again, people theorize that hypogamy is mostly seen in men who are heterosexual men who are dating down, so to speak, to women. Mm. And, you know, the problem here is that the theory is men date downwards because if they're wealthier than their girlfriend, if they're maybe older, if they've got more powerful, if they're higher social standing, that, like you say, the people they date downwards are more impressionable, more controllable. Do you say less of a fuss? That's what people theorize. Mm. I mean, does that sound right?
Well, I don't know. You see, it's difficult to say, isn't it? Because it's really, really difficult to assess the trends. Because I guess that most of the people that are trying to date up are not assuming that they're dumb. I hope not.
Yeah,
And I don't suppose they are.
No.
And it hasn't always worked out for guys who want a partner who's no trouble, that they get a partner who's no trouble. But there is a bit of a trend at the moment for people to say, hey, I would like somebody wealthier than me, and so I'm going to try and find somebody wealthier than me. And in a way, who can blame them? What's the harm? I mean, if you watch movies, especially old movies, it's almost a joke. It's a kind of running theme that girls are looking for a good catch. But whether it actually presents in the way it has always done is a bit unclear.
Yeah, but I think an interesting word that to focus in on what you said was trend. It's a trend, but necessarily is it a rule or anything like that? I don't think so at all. Like, there's also the trend for, again, talking heterosexual couples, but like taller men versus shorter men. You might trend towards fancying taller men. These are all trends, like, you know, and these things can change. And also, it's not the be all and end all. I bet you there's really rich, high standing guys out there who can't catch a break with people because there's other things that they're quote unquote lacking. So it's not this be all and end all, and trends can change. Like, one of the reasons why potentially this might be changing as well is, let's say it's about money. Well, the gender pay gap is, I think the last time I read it, I might be wrong here, but let's say it's women earn 78% of what men do on average. So that is another reason why women might want to marry upwards to sort of close that gap and make sure they're, you know, looked after or whatever. But with that gap closing and people becoming more independent and stuff, you would assume that that will stop being as much of a thing. Similarly, let's take it out of it and say that women don't care about money at all. If they just dated people heterosexually anyway, because of that gender pay gap, though, naturally you would see a trend to women dating upwards because men on average, earn more than them. So it will make it look like people are looking for that, when actually that's just people dating normally.
I think it's more complicated than that, because it's also the case that some people want to please their parents and say they've made a good match. And so sometimes that's what it's all about. And in order to feel freer, perhaps if they do feel a bit constrained by family expectations, they make their own choice, but it's got to be a good enough choice. Mm. So there's a bit of that. There may be a bit of that going on. And that can apply to any family anywhere. And equally, if you've come from a difficult background where you want to escape, that's another reason for trying to get yourself a leg up.
Mm. I mean, and also, I bet you there's loads of people listening to this now who are thinking, well, yeah, I mean, when I look for a partner, there is something comforting about maybe knowing that they earn a bit more than me, or that they're in a, like, I like the fact that they're in a higher social category or whatever. People just want the best of themselves. Is it that bad?
Well, no, I don't think so. But there is also another, I mean, no blame from this direction. Mm. I mean, the thing is, though, that sometimes people do also make a concerted effort to find the kind of partner that's going to be the best thing for them when they've had a lot of heartbreak. Mm. So this is another reason for making this choice, because if you have consistently had a bad time, then you may think, okay, well, I keep coming across lame ducks. If I can't find true love, at least let me find somebody with a hefty wallet.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is very interesting that you say that, because a lot of these TikTok pages and stuff, that's a lot of what they say. They're sort of saying, listen, that we're coming from the idea that in every case it's men. Men are trash. Men are trash. And so you might as well get some money out of them until they are eventually trash again. We've been hurt before by guys, so now it's our turn to take something back, which is, you know, potentially where this gets a little bit awkward.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? And it's very unpleasant to be talking about anybody as trash. I mean, this is very transactional, though, isn't it? I mean, the guys are getting something out of it, ultimately, you know, an attractive woman. The girls are getting something out of it, hopefully. Mm. And it's interesting because at the moment, it's not the way we think of relationships. We tend to think in terms of fairy tale, falling in love, the one, all of that sort of thing, which is utter nonsense. But we do,
I'm not saying
people don't fall in love, but there's only one person. But you are, but it is also fairy tale stuff, isn't it? It's in lots of ways, this is buying into it because you're looking for Prince Charming.
And
you're trying to make your feet fit the shoe.
Well, that's why this instantly struck a chord with me, because I was thinking, so these are people who are coaching each other through ways to almost, is it trick men? I'm not sure. Or find people where, as I say, the main goal is that they've got lots of money, they're of a higher social standing, and they'll take care of me. And that's the main goal. Whereas I feel like I'm coming at relationships like, I want to find somebody I fall in love with. And whatever money we have, that doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, if we're together, we're together. But then again, like you just said, that is such a romantic and like Disney way to look at things, when actually maybe that's not what real life is. And again, maybe I'm talking from a privileged position where maybe I haven't had the heartbreak that a lot of people have had. Maybe I don't have the money issues that a lot of these people have. And also I'm a man, and this usually trends towards women do this way. All these things mean that that's probably why I don't think this way, but it's probably completely fair that people do.
Maybe some men do. But the other thing to take into account is that it's all very well getting yourself into a situation where you can meet and have an initial attraction with somebody, but it doesn't mean that the relationship's going to sustain. Mm. So unless there's something real going on for the couple, then whether it's love or a really good friendship or just a really good arrangement, whatever it happens to be, it's got to be there, because it's not going to go much beyond, you know, a few dates if there isn't something making it work.
It's interesting that you say that there needs to be something good going on. Are there sometimes clients that you see who are couples and they're together, but realistically, it's just an arrangement and they've got a really good one and they're both happy with the transaction, but ultimately it's not that they're in love and necessarily even good friends?
Well, actually, what I spend a lot of time doing at the moment is creating the arrangement.
Yeah,
because things change over time. Yeah. And if it's a good relationship, actually, you're more likely to change as a couple. And so you may now have different wants and needs. I mean, so quite often you'll find couples who say, oh, you know, we don't want to separate because we own this enormous house. And if we split it, you know, we're going to own a little house each. And so they want to carry on together. But, you know, it's not working because they're so resentful. But if you formalise the changes and the difference in the relationship and then maybe open up or put some ground rules in, or just say, you know what, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I'll carry on sleeping with you or I won't, you know, whatever. There are all sorts of ways you can go. I mean, you can have any kind of relationship. And sometimes people just want some time out as well. They want time off. They just want a break. Any of that can work. And often saying, stop trying to make what isn't working work, do something different, works. So yes, lots of people have an arrangement, and it's when they don't have an arrangement that they tend to run into trouble.
So what you're saying is hypergamous relationships, let's say like this, where you can go into it and think, I don't even really love this guy. And this guy's thinking, I don't really love this girl, but both of you are getting something out of it. You get a good arrangement, and that is fine. It's okay.
Well, is it? Yeah, if it works, it works, doesn't it?
Nice too. Okay. Do you think this is going to continue, or do you think what we talked about before, maybe with the continued rate of women and men becoming more equal in terms of social standing and money and stuff like that, do you think that this sort of thing might just peter out?
Well, it might just peter out, I guess. I mean, who knows? I mean, we don't know how successful it is in terms of people forging lasting relationships, do we? We know that people are looking for relationships, but I don't know of any research which suggests what becomes of this. So it's a relatively, although it may look big online, it's a relatively small social movement, if you can call it that. But it's something that lots of people are aware of, and in some ways it may be a fantasy. I mean, you may be trying to improve your appearance or your clothes or whatever, and actually it might not get you anywhere.
Exactly.
You know,
well just on that as well, there's also a few videos going around the other way with men talking to men about hypergamy, almost talking about it as if it's inherent in women's nature and that they're doomed if they don't have money or status. Do you think that, I mean, is that true?
Yeah. Well, are we talking sort of incel type thinking now?
This, I'm not going to lie, these videos are, they feel very incel-y to me. I don't like to, I feel almost, am I allowed to even say that? They're so incel-y. Fuck it, I'm going to say it. They're so in, they're very, very incel-y. It's very much like, listen, dude, there's one video in particular. Well, I might have to even link it in the show notes. So where they're like, there's this thing called hypergamy. It's the idea that women can't help themselves but date upwards. They want men with money. They want men with status. Men, the biggest and most important relationship they have with women is with their mum. And their mum shows an unconditional love and support. They then see this love and support in women, but women don't want that from the man. What they want from the man is their money and their status, and they want to use it. It even quotes a mental statistic saying that in 1 in 10 children, their father isn't actually their biological father because a woman has gone away and found some other better male, an alpha male or whatever they call them, you know, a high value man elsewhere to actually have this kid with. That's the sort of videos and the sort of information that's being given out.
Yeah, and it's sad, isn't it? Because, I mean, incel stands for involuntarily celibate. And these are men who are very resentful of women who prefer jocks and more attractive men or more interesting men than they are. And they are hugely resentful about that. I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, instead of complaining about it, maybe they need to go out and meet some girls.
Well, it's funny you say that, because there's also then some people talking about hypergamy, guys talking to other guys saying, listen, if this is true and hypergamy is true and you need to get more money and you need to be successful, that's your biggest motivator. Like, shouldn't you use that to motivate yourself? And I mean, there's part of me that thinks that's a good thing. But then if there's an army or a horde of incels out there, you know, purely trying to like get more money and become more powerful and evil for that, I don't know. All of it just feels wrong to me. But
it feels wrong.
This is the problem. The whole idea of bettering yourself to find the partner that you're looking for sounds great. But when you frame it in the women are inherently evil they want all my money and they want all my status. And my mum is the only woman who's ever going to actually love me. And so I'm going to be the best version of myself to then exploit this woman back and take, if she's going to take what she wants from me, I'm going to take it back from her. And that's why I'm going to like go to the gym. That's why I'm going to start a company and sell it for millions and blah, blah, blah. You know, all of that feels wrong to me. It feels like, you know, but then again, what we talked about before, maybe I'm too Disney-fied. I'm too much of a romantic.
I don't think anybody should say, you know, it's very unhelpful to believe all women are out to get you or all men are out to get you. You know, it's just daft. I mean, there are lots of women who at the moment are having sex with as many men as they possibly can because they kind of want to feel more in control. And they think that's a really great way to do it. Men can do it, you know, traditionally, we think that's what is said. So they don't see why they shouldn't either. And it's interesting because some of them then say, why am I not having a relationship? But they're not giving off a vibe that they want a relationship. So it's really interesting because the way you come across may not be the way you think you come across.
Yeah. And that's why, to be fair to some of these people, to bring it back to the hypergamy and some of these coaches, I think what some of them are trying to do, and I think a lot of them in genuine good faith, is trying to say, stop this casual sex, stop having sex with people on the first date. You know, obviously, I have no issue with these things, but in these women's minds or these coaches' minds, it's like these are things that are making people think you just want casual or making, or maybe leading you to people that aren't serious. So try these other methods, dress in this way, go to these bars, say these things to men, and you know, maybe you'll find something more serious.
But that's, you know, that's likely to be for a lot of people who feel they've been manipulated, you know, they feel they've been manipulated into sex or coerced into sex, and you know, on the basis that, well, if you have sex with me, you know, I'll date you. And a bit of a feeling, I mean, it surprises me so much how many people think that they can't have a relationship until they've had lots of sex with somebody. Because in my day, sex followed the relationship.
Yeah. You know? So, okay, can you explain this to me? If I met a girl and let's say in the 60s or the 70s or whatever.
Oh, bloody hell, how old do you think I am?
Well, sorry, the 90s. So if I met a girl, let's say the 70s. If I met a girl in the 70s, we met a few times. I got her number. I rang her up and said, do you want to go for a date with me to the discotheque this Friday? Are we going out at that point? I don't know. What's it? Is that the 70s?
I don't know.
Oh, right.
I mean, I really am not as old as you think I am.
if I invite you out on a date and you say yes, are we going out then?
No. So then,
are we boyfriend and girlfriend?
Not necessarily, because there was going steady.
So that's, but that isn't that what we've got at the moment, where it's like, oh, we're, you know.
Yeah, but you wouldn't sleep with someone you weren't going steady with. So you might say, if you were a boy, might say, oh, let's go steady in order to get into your pants. That might happen.
But, so let's go steady in order to get into your pants, but you're not allowed to get into their pants until
you're going steady.
No, but until your boyfriend or girlfriend. I thought that's what you just said, right?
Well, yeah, going steady would be, I mean, you might say, I mean, you know, there might be people who would assume they were dating if they saw somebody a couple of times. But I think people would have a conversation where they said,
my boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then how different is that
to
that?
A relationship. Well, people don't. They don't say they're in a relationship for years, some of them.
Yeah, that is true. Well, what we've got at the moment, if I'm not mistaken, is you get with someone, you hang out a few times, then you have the conversation where you go, are we exclusive? And you might go, yeah. And then you keep going out for ages. And then eventually you'll go, we are boyfriend and girlfriend, aren't we? Or we are boyfriend and boyfriend, we are girlfriend and girlfriend. And then you go, yeah.
Well, you are if you're exclusive. But the thing is...
No, but exclusivity doesn't necessarily mean that. There's people in quote-unquote situationships where they're exclusive.
Oh my God, situationships.
But they're not, you know... They're not official. That's it. We're not official. It's not on Facebook that I'm in a relationship, you know?
It just strikes me as bonkers.
And yet it makes total sense to me, weirdly.
No, it makes none at all to me.
Do you know what? Do you know why I think it is? Is it's because of the pressure of the label. If you then say that we're boyfriend and girlfriend, the amount of pressure that comes after that is so intense that I think people freak out. And I say people, that's definitely been me as well. I've thought, oh, I can't say, because you need to make sure you pick the right person. You've got to make sure you're the right person for them. You know, then you, like, your parents will know about it, your friends have to know about it.
But that's the other thing. I think, no, I think that's more as well. I mean, I don't think if people were even living together when I was younger, it would necessarily mean that you were going to spend the rest of your life together. You were in a relationship now. You were living together now. Mm. If you hadn't made some sort of commitment, and that's why some people would get married at the point where they said, actually, we want to take it a step further or something. Mm. Whereas, you know, marriage is not so important to so many people now. And so maybe that kind of barrier is gone.
Mm.
And it can feel as if you're in a much more forever relationship just because you've said, oh, we're official. And that's what I find balmy, the significance of each stage.
Mm.
Because, you know, you're hanging out with somebody, you're seeing somebody. If you're seeing them, you're seeing them. If you're having sex with them, you're in a relationship, for God's sake, if you're doing that regularly.
But are you saying
just
that people...
Just because you say you're not doesn't mean you're not.
But no, I know. But
it's
okay.
A relationship. A relationship is two people, no one.
Let's say, theoretically, I'm seeing three people at the same time and yeah. I'm having sex with all three of them. Have I got three girlfriends at that point?
You might do.
Well, that doesn't seem right because then...
But that's different, isn't it? Than from like right, let's say you're seeing three people and there's one you see every Friday night.
Yeah.
Every Friday night, regular. Yeah. Regular as clockwork. Well, you can't say that's not a relationship.
Why not? What you're doing here is you're labelling and you're pathologising.
Well, then, I am not labelling and I am absolutely not pathologising, mister.
Yeah.
No, the thing is that you have a relationship with the man who sells you your coffee. Or woman.
Oh, don't change the goalpost. Don't say,
it's not
a relationship. You're changing the goalpost. When you say relationship, you mean boyfriend and girlfriend. That's what you mean when you say that.
Well, I don't really. I mean
relationship.
And now
you're changing it. And now you're saying relationship.
I'm not. This is what I always meant. It is a relationship. And it doesn't matter. I mean, boyfriend and girlfriend is what you're calling it. That's the labelling.
Right. So I'll take that out of it.
Absolutely. That's the labelling.
Okay. So I'm meant to say with these three girls that I'm in a relationship with three girls. What does that sound like to you? That sounds like I've got three girlfriends.
No, it sounds like you're shagging three people.
No, it doesn't. I mean, like, I feel like what we're doing is we're saying, don't say we're boyfriend or girlfriend, but say that you're in a relationship, and that's a new label.
What?
It's a new label.
I mean, I think if you're seeing somebody and you're friends with them, that's a relationship, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're literally saying you're in a relationship, i.e. in the same way that our relationship is mother and son, and my relationship with my friend is friend, and I'm in a relationship with this person because we see each other every Friday and we shag, then yes, I guess you're right. Sorry. Then I guess you're right, but you're not really saying anything new there. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise I had to be super original.
But it has no relation to what you were saying before, where you were going, well, if you see them loads, and your boyfriend or girlfriend, be honest. So that now, I don't know which one we're going for.
Let's say that you have been seeing somebody for 2 years and you mostly see them most days after work. You get together and you sleep together and you cook meals for one another and you plan your holidays together and you spend most of your time together. And this is somebody you would confide in. And if you had some good news, that's the first person you'd tell and all of those things. And then somebody says to you, oh, you two, are you an item? Are you in a relationship? And you go, oh, no.
Well, listen, when we talk about the extreme case like that, then I'd be like, yeah, you are. Obviously, they are. Yeah,
well, precisely.
Yeah.
And I am seeing this all the time.
2 years?
Mm.
That long?
Longer.
And what do you put that down to? Why are they not saying, oh, yeah, I'm in a relationship?
Blimey, I wish I knew.
Yeah.
It just seems to be a thing. It just seems to be a trend.
Mm.
And you know, from the point of view of a sex therapist, it's a bloody nightmare because they're not in a relationship in capital letters.
Both of them don't come.
Well, quite often they don't. Quite often one of them doesn't.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, so one of them comes and goes, oh, I've got this issue.
Yeah.
But they can't come as a couple because they're not a couple.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
I was thinking more about what happens when you fake it.
Oh.
Because you're not in a relationship.
Yeah.
So you may be faking orgasms because you're not in a relationship. It doesn't matter. You know, you might want to please your partner. For instance, I might want to make him think that I was having a wonderful time and the earth was moving and all of that, because I probably, you know, because it was just a casual relationship, it's not going to go anywhere, might as well keep him happy. I might do that, for instance. I mean, I would, I wouldn't. So, if just for reference, anybody, if I was doing that, and then, you know, after 2 years, you suddenly decide, oh, actually, we're a couple. Then how do you undo that? Because he's thinking, oh, you know, I need to be keep pumping away because that's what she likes, and she's thinking, oh God, he still doesn't know what turns me on.
And at that point, you're too deep in. So if you tell them, they're going to be like really upset or whatever.
Yeah. It's really difficult. So I have lost count, really lost count of how often people have rocked up saying, hey, how do I sort this out? Or a couple come together, you know, attend together saying, oh, there's, you know, our sex life's suddenly gone wrong. And then you're having to say, well, I'll just have a chat with you separately. And then you find out
the truth. I like then when you corrected yourself and said, come together, and you said attend. I really wish we could change come to attend.
Yeah, but can you imagine Diggs saying, did the earth move? Did you attend?
did he make you attend? I mean, so good. That's what I want.
Dear, incredible.
I'm attending. All right, well, wonderful chat there about hypergamy. Lots and lots of things to think about.
Went all over the place.
We really did. Well, we'll be back with some more fascinating chat as we answer your relationship conundrums in part two, right after this.
It's the mailbag, send Kate your queries to podcast@hatch.com. It's the mailbag, send Kate your queries, podcast@hatch with two C's.
Hello there, I have a query for Kate. I would like to know when the real sex education mailbag starts.
The real sex education mailbag starts right now.
Thank you.
Right, Mum, it's time for some questions from listeners we have to the show. If you'd like your sex and relationship questions answered by Kate, an accredited sex relationship therapist, you can send them in to us to podcasts@hatchet.com or DM us on Instagram and Twitter. We're at RealSexEdPod. Right, Mum, question one. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let me read it right here. My wife and I have been married 4 years and have sex twice a month at most. I wanted to have more sex, but she never did. Recently, her rejections have gotten to the point where I've stopped asking and I'm not feeling sexually attracted to her at all. Now she wants a baby and wants to have sex all the time, and I can't even get hard. The sex isn't sexy, it's just about making a baby. She lies there and wants me to come as quickly as possible. How do I get hard for her?
Oh, wow. It sounds as if there are real problems with the relationship itself, doesn't it? And this is not going to happen. I mean, I wonder if he can get hard at other times, you know, perhaps has morning erections or has erections when he masturbates. And if so, there's not a, you know, clinical reason why this is happening. It's a relationship reason. And maybe they need to do some work on the relationship and what's going on there. I mean, I can't understand why they would be even thinking about making a baby if they've got the kinds of problems that they seem to have. Mm. Although people do, I know they do, but you know.
Well, that's what struck me. There's a couple of things here, is that it just sounds like, at least in the sexual side of your relationship, you're unhappy. Also, now she wants to have a baby. Okay, well, you've said that she, not we, she wants to have a baby. I thought that was interesting as well.
Yeah.
And it just seems like a question all phased around, like, we need to have a serious think. And then it ends with, how do I get hard?
Yeah.
You know? So I was really interested to hear what you thought.
Well, communication needs to improve, doesn't it? And maybe there are ways that they could talk to one another and talk about what they both actually want. I mean, it might well be, if he doesn't want a baby, that could be a reason for not getting hard.
It could
really put you off, couldn't it?
Yeah. You said it about communication. Yeah, like you said, I've stopped asking. So, I mean, I guess he must have spoken about it a bit, I guess, but maybe just asking for sex and really speaking about it. But it doesn't sound great. I guess the main thing we would say is go to couples therapy, because it sounds like there's some things that you both want that maybe you can talk through with a therapist and see if they align and whether you can go forward.
I mean, people get very frightened. It's very, very common when somebody feels they're being rejected repeatedly when they're looking for sex, then they do stop asking. Mm. And that's very common. But then it's really hard to just turn it back on again when required.
Yeah.
The reasons that one person rejects the other are really silly reasons. I mean, just like you've just picked the wrong moment to approach. I mean, that's that, and I'm always saying, you know, if someone feels sweaty or, you know, or they've just come in, they don't want to be hugged and cuddled, or they might be interested in a lovely cuddle or kiss or something, but not the whole hog. So there are lots of ways of reintroducing sex into your life and having quite a lot of it, but not necessarily always looking for intercourse and orgasm. And that's the problem. That's what puts people off, because they think, oh God, I've got to.
It's a whole rigmarole.
Yeah, I've got to do this. I've got to go and have a shower. And actually, you know, what someone's often looking for when they look for sex is just some reassurance. So there are all sorts of ways that's possible. So if they've got a bit stuck, then definitely therapy would be really, really helpful.
Yeah, I think that's what I would say. All right. Next question is from Anonymous, and they say, my boyfriend and I have been seeing each other for a few weeks, and he always apologises after sex. What's wrong?
Well, have you asked him?
I don't know if they've asked him.
Do you think he thinks it's a bit dirty, or that he shouldn't really have done that?
Maybe. It might be that. I like this question because it reminded me of Olga Koch when she came on Series 2. She talked about this. She was like, one of the main things I noticed from it, she said, from British guys is when they have sex, they just apologise immediately afterwards. Which I wonder whether that is quite a British thing, to sort of be like, oh, I'm sorry to subject you to this rubbish. You know, I don't know. But I just thought it was quite funny.
Well, but we're kind of brought up to feel that way, aren't we? That if you have a need, that you should somehow apologise for it. If you have needs, then there's something wrong with you. Don't indulge your needs. That's the British way, isn't it? So that's why we do that, I guess.
Like, it could be you were brought up to, like, sex is something we don't talk about in the house, you know, with the family and stuff, but also maybe like religious, like obviously, like I guess the UK is a Christian country, so that even, you know, sex is a bit there, so maybe it feels like apology because it's like, well, this is something we shouldn't be doing.
There used to be a lot of jokes that men were always up for sex, which isn't true, obviously.
Absolutely not.
But that men were always up for sex and women were always trying to beat them off with a stick.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you subscribe to that, if you've been brought up with those kinds of jokes around, then you potentially would say, oh gosh, you've just allowed me to do this thing with you. When actually she may be only too delighted.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder as well whether it's just a case of like, he's apologising because I think he's not living up to his own standards. Maybe he's like, oh, I wasn't as good at that sexual experience I thought I should be, you know? It's sort of like, sorry, maybe I came too soon, or sooner than I would have liked. It's his own expectations that he's...
And that's very possible. On the other hand, you know, people should be taking responsibility for their own sexual experience. And if there's something that she would like him to be doing, she perhaps needs to show him or tell him.
Yeah.
Because he's not a mind reader.
Yeah, and so that's why maybe every time he has sex, he's like, she didn't seem to enjoy that as much as I thought she should. I'll just say sorry. You know? Yeah. Oh, the thing is, it's such a sweet thing.
It's so sweet.
It's so sweet. So I just want to, I definitely want you to follow up on that because it's really fun. But yeah, like Mum says, off the bat, why don't you ask? See what they think. Okay. Yep. Well, that's all we have time for. Thank you so much again.
I know.
I'm so sorry. Thank you, as always, to accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Cabell. Thank you, Mum, for your sexpertise.
Thanks, Diggs.
My pleasure. And thank you guys all for listening. We really do appreciate it. Make sure you're following or subscribing wherever you're listening to this now for some more real sex education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, Coda is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, Coda Mainstream, or Coda Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at coda.com.